The book that my kids used was called King of the Golden City, and it's actually an allegory that sort of sums up a lot of the catechism for the child and kind of gets them ready to receive Jesus and to really put a lot of love into that first reception and every reception after that. So it was really more that reading her sort of formed my mind and my heart after, you know, her vision of that Christ-like love. And, you know, then as I sort of started experiencing the Latin Mass, then that formation sort of helped me view that through her lens of, you know, of this talent of being able to explain the faith to children in a way that was easy to digest and made it so beautiful that you just couldn't resist it. So that came from Mother Mary Loyola, that way of seeing, that way of expressing it with so much love. So I really credit her, and, you know, for me, getting thrown into this idea of making this book was basically just being put through the grinder.
I know it, you know, well.
Because what was it, not 5 minutes ago, you said God chooses the least likely person to do great things.
Well, I was talking about me.
Then you know that it's really him. So, you know, that's where I'm coming from.
Well, it's one of my favorite stories from the Old Testament, the story of Gideon when he's staring at the Levite army and there's 50,000 of them or whatever. And he said, I can take them, God, if you'll give me 30,000. And God said, Okay, I can take them if you'll give me 10,000. God goes, nope. All right, well, we can surround him if you give me 1,000. Not going to happen. How many can I have? 300. Why 300? Because I want him, after you beat him, I want him to know that it was me.
Yeah, right.
And
right,
not you.
Exactly.
Well, I can tell you how this happened because I can hear it in your voice. You have a love for the subject matter. If you have a love for the subject matter, you can bring anything into fruition, including even a book, even if you're not a desktop publisher and don't know how to do it. Now, one of the coolest things, or for me anyway, as someone that knew the book before I knew you, one of the coolest things about Treasure and Tradition is that it's a book that looks like it's a treasure map. It does. It looks like it holds treasure in it. Yeah. And when you start thumbing through it, as you said, anyone that is confused at all, not sold on the idea that there ought to be this one true holy Catholic and apostolic faith that you hear me jabbering on about constantly, and that there ought to be this one true holy Catholic and apostolic mass that ought to be celebrated exact same way all across the planet, across the human race, with the only things being in vernacular are when the priest basically takes a time out. You know, and this is one of the things explained in the book. When he takes that maniple off, he's not celebrating mass anymore. He's paused it. He hit the pause button. Mm-hmm. Now he's going to the pulpit, and he can speak in the vernacular because he's not speaking he's not in persona Christi at that point.
Right.
And it's just another one of those things that if you know it and you see it, you might take it for granted. But if you don't know it and you see it explained in this book, and you go like, wow. There is, it's like my friend David Simpson explained to me. First of all, people that go to the Mass are in love with it. They love everything. It's not just the smells and the bells. It's the chant. Even during the solemnity of the low Mass, which was, you know, developed after the high Mass. It was always high. Right. Low came in after the Council of Trent. And I realize some of this is inside baseball, but you need to understand why I'm asking the audience to help me raise $4,000 to give it to Lisa so that she can go buy paperback magazine-style copies, have them printed in Rome, where she will distribute them in three languages, English, Portuguese, Josh Will, if you're listening, Portuguese, and Spanish. Now, can you tell the audience why, let's go back to the beginning. Let me finish my thought. So the book Treasure and Tradition explains everything that happens, step by step by step by step, all the moves that a priest is making, why he's making them, and why they're important. And then and they all have a beauty that's in them, so you don't really have to add the beauty because beauty's already there. So that's the one thing, the book. What then caused you, Lisa Bergman, to come up with this harebrained scheme that you were going to go to Rome during the Amazonian Synod and you were going to hand these books out to people?